The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
She's got the news. She talks with newsmakers. She encourages us to laugh, and she cries with us. Speaking truth to power and questioning authority daily, it's the Nicole Sandler Show.
All right, it is. There I am. Hi. Welcome to a Tuesday, everybody. It is the Nicole Sandler Show coming to you live from Coral Springs, Florida. Today we are coast to coast because Gotta Laugh will be here joining in from sunny Southern California. I'll tell you what, you know, with everything going on, we haven't done any fun songs in a while. And actually, there's a couple, a husband and wife team who do these song parodies. We haven't, you know, we haven't really heard any in a long time because I think once, I don't know, the election was over and people backed off of doing these song parodies. And it seemed that COVID was getting better. But I thought, you know, it's been a while since we've enjoyed, you know, a fun song. And I thought maybe now was the time to enjoy one. So this, I got to make sure, okay, this will work. So this is a couple. I don't know anything about them. They record under the name A Man, Woman, Camera Parody Song. And here they are, you know, basically trying to convince us to get a shot in song. So I figured this is a good way to start the show. So take it away, A Man, Woman, Camera Parody Song.
What good is living alone in your room? Come hear the music play. Life is a jabberway, old chum. Go get the jab today. Screw your misgiving, it's time to assume you can trust the so close, the end was near, but when we all were celebrating, Delta started circulating, it's unforgiving, this virus of doom, so please don't be led astray. Life is a jab away, old chum, so go get the jab today. I won't besmirch, insisted she was doing her own research. She wasn't what you'd call an anti-vaxxer, but suffice it to say she wanted mandates laxer. The day she died, the tweet storms all said f*** her, 'cause that's what comes from too much Sean and f*** her. And though she took hydroxychloroquine, I wished to God she'd gotten the vaccine. I think of my friend to this very day. If only I could turn to her and say, what good is dying alone in your room? Pfizer or J&J. Life is a jab away, old chum. Go get the jab today. And as for me, I'd rather not. Complying or dig your own
awesome was that? A man, woman, camera, parody song, Life is a Jab Away, Old Chum. Yeah, that deserves some applause. I figured, you know, we should get started today with a song. How about another song? You ready?
If the news gives you the blues, here's the perfect place to go. It's Tuesdays with a laugh on the Nicole Sandler Show.
Every other Tuesday, or whenever she can, we get together with our pal, Gotta Laugh, here on the Nicole Sandler Show on Tuesdays. Hi, Laffy. Wasn't that cool?
That was so good.
They are really good. And you know what? I actually pulled a second video that this husband and wife did together that I can't now find, but I got to find it. I'll play it before the day is out because it's so good. Here it is. You know what? You want to do it now just because they're so good and we can?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So let me get it queued up and ready to go. So this one, you see the husband. I don't know their names. Just a man, woman, camera parody, but it is really good. So here we go. All right. So here's the second in the twofer. It's a twofer Tuesday.
Yay!
Here we go. Take it away, man, woman, camera parody singers. Oh, there they are.
Oh,
okay.
Don't care if you cough, don't care if you sneeze. You take that mask off and he's not saying please. DeSantis laws are coming to town. He made a decree, you cannot dissent. To him liberty is your mom on a vent. DeSantis laws are coming to town. He sees you when you're masking. He knows if you've been vaxxed. If you try to save your students, you will get your funding axed.
Whoa,
you better watch out. Stand back and stand by. Cause there is no doubt that he wants you to die. DeSantis laws are coming to town. Who cares if you kill your favorite classmate? The virus has found a sanctuary state. DeSantis laws are coming to town.
While others take pains to avoid a breakthrough, he welcomes all strains from Alpha to Mu.
DeSantis laws are coming to town. If you rant against Pfizer, he'll give you a safe space.
He probably drinks Budweiser just to pander to his base.
Oh, thank God for the courts. They don't like this clown. Prepare your passports because they're striking him down. DeSantis laws ain't coming to town. DeSantis laws ain't coming to town.
They are so good, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. I like that.
I wrote
for a long time all these song parodies, used them in live shows, all kinds of things, and did them, you know, even in my Blunt videos. And I really did like them. I have this one pet peeve with people who write videos parodies like that. Don't try to squeeze syllables that don't match, and don't put emphasis on the wrong syllable just to get it in. Just think of a different way to word it so that we can just like roll. Because I'm like all hung up on not DeSantis. That was great, DeSantis clause, because that's all you can do.
Right.
But there were a couple of times where I was like going, "No, you could have done it." It's just me.
See, I love it. And the thing is, I know nothing about this couple, but the story I've built up for them in my mind is they live in New York and they're both Broadway performers, because she can sing. Oh my goodness, what a voice on her, right?
I don't think he is, though. He doesn't sound like a singer. Maybe he's something else.
Maybe he,
Broadway?
You know, works as a stagehand or something. Who knows? But I think she is a Broadway actress, singer, because her voice is just amazing.
Yeah, so. No, She was good. And I like that she's versatile too, because yes. The first one you showed, I had never seen her before, right? So the first one you showed, she was all dressed up with eyelashes.
Right. She was like a cabaret. So they were they were just doing the thing. So to answering the chat room, their channel is a man, woman, camera parody. And yes, I will post both those videos on the blog. Whenever I play one of these song parodies, I always post the video on the blog where I post the show. So today is September 21st, 2021, it'll be at NicoleSandler.com/9-21-21. So you can always find the shows like that. So yeah, so the videos will be posted there. But yeah. Oh, and Gary says he's an actor. Well, maybe he is an actor.
Oh, that makes acting. That makes sense.
Right. But she's the
musical
star.
I wouldn't put him
as
a Broadway singer, but yeah, right. I could see her. He could be definitely an actor. Doing.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So I thought we'd start today with a couple of songs because they were so well done, and just to lighten the atmosphere a little bit.
And they make the point.
They do make the point. Get a fucking shot.
That's the point, right in your arm. That's
there
the point.
There you go. There you Woo-hoo. Go. So,
well,
Laffy.
I've got all kinds of things to talk to you about.
Before you do any of that, you know, today, every day I put up a show card, basically a graphic at the beginning of the show. And today's, I'm going to put it up on the screen for those of you who are watching a video. And you see in our regular picture that's there every week that I change up. I usually put a little something extra on. Today, there's a Canadian flag there. Mm. For those who don't know, Laffy has been trying for the last, two years. To move to Canada. And well, you're not moving yet, but you going for a few weeks. You leave
finally.
This weekend, huh? What's happening?
We applied for permanent residency 2 years ago. So that means we've been trying to do this for more than 2 years, because I was doing research. I had to get a lawyer. You know, we have one of the top lawyers in Canada up there in Vancouver. And so April 2020, we had planned a trip. We wanted to stay there about 10 or 11 days to see what it would really be like just to be there for a while. And we only have so much time because Mr. Laffy works. And so he has to get all this time off. And we're bringing Hammy, so we have to drive. We're not going to put him on a plane. He'd go nuts.
Good. Okay.
So it takes a week to get up there, a week to get back, you know, and then 10 days there. So we had to cancel our trip because of COVID in April 2020, which killed us because it was right before. I mean, we waited till March to cancel. And then finally, they opened the borders, and I was like, yay, you opened the and we immediately made all the same reservations again. Then we had to change some of the reservations. I didn't tell you this.
No.
Because of the smoke.
One
of the hotels we had to close down because of the smoke.
Huh.
And it was in Mount Shasta. And so they warned us that the whole area is going to be smoky, but that they actually had to wait, you know, to reopen. So we had to redo some of our trip, make sure we could find a place, you know, that took Hammy. And so we're going Saturday. I cannot wait. We're going to go scout neighborhoods. We're going to meet our lawyer. We're going to meet maybe some real estate people just to help us out a little bit and see what we can do. I just cannot wait.
Yeah,
I can't,
I bet.
I'm bursting.
I'm jealous.
I'll probably end up calling you, but just the boring drive I'm excited about. I so want to get out of here. I'm so burnt out, as you know, we've talked about that. We're both so burnt out from all the political crap that's been going on.
Yep.
Here I read a tweet yesterday. I didn't save it, but I read it that said, I thought this is something like, this is the first time since Trump that I've felt this anxious, or I feel as anxious as I was with Trump. And I said, me too. I am so filled with anxiety over what's been going on that I can barely stand it.
Yeah, it is. Things are not good. Things are not what they should be. And it's depressing. You know, just God, the video from yesterday. I'm not going to play it because I refuse. Of seeing at the border where all those Haitians are under that bridge, and those border control people, animals are using a whip on that. Sorry, not okay. And then Mayorkas today made a statement about it. I think they needed to be a bit more of, you know, definitives. Like, that is not okay. Those people, right, we will find, they're out of there, and that will not be tolerated. We have a zero tolerance policy. And better yet, stop deporting all those people. You're sending them back to Haiti?
I can't believe. And also they're also saying something, I don't remember who it was, but on the news I heard that, oh, they didn't use the whip. Oh, really? Really?
Yeah.
Is that what you're going to say?
Right.
So, but yeah, why are they deporting these people? Why? These are refugees. These are people
that have refugees. Right. And so Trump decimated our entire refugee program. So the Biden administration needs to put it back in effect, needs to fix it, not keep deporting these people who you're sending them back to a country. Many of them left 10 years ago after the first big earthquake. So they've been in South America ever since, and they worked their way up to try to get in here. So they're sending them back to Haiti. The island is totally decimated from the last earthquake and COVID and everything else. This is cruel and unusual punishment, I think.
Yeah, I'm not thrilled. I'm not. When I read about it, I kind of had a look twice. Like, really? You're doing that? You're sending them back?
Yeah.
That just seems out of character, but, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe if they get enough flack, they'll change it. I hope they do.
Yeah. You know what? Here. This is Alejandro Mayorkas, the Secretary of Homeland Security. Here.
Looking at those images?
I'm very pleased you asked that question. It has been uppermost in my mind since I first saw the images late yesterday, Mr. Chairman. We commenced an investigation in my direction immediately.
And?
The Office of Professional Responsibility within the Department of Homeland Security's U.S. Customs and Border Protection, number one. Number two, we alerted the Inspector General of the incidents.
Okay.
Number three, I directed that the Office of Professional Responsibility be present on site in Del Rio 24/7 to ensure that the conduct of our personnel adheres to our policy, to our policies, to our training, and to our values.
Yeah.
I was horrified to see the images, and we look forward to learning the facts that are adduced from the investigation, and we will take actions that those facts compel. We do not tolerate any mistreatment or abuse of a migrant, period.
Yeah.
I also want to say, and I think that's
enough. And the thing is, deporting them is mistreatment. Right.
Yes.
Now, sending them back to Haiti, I mean, it would be one thing if they were being sent back to the UK. But to Haiti, I
know, you're not alone. I mean, all over Twitter, I see the same exact kind of response.
We need a working asylum program, not the tatters that Trump left it in. We need it back to its glory because give us your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free. Hello. Yeah.
Well, it's complicated, Nicole.
Yeah, of
don't
course.
You understand? It's complicated.
It is. It is.
It's complicated. Complicated,
yeah, yeah.
I say.
Yeah.
Anyway, well, let's bring the birdies out. We haven't seen the birdies around.
No.
Where are
okay.
the birdies?
All right. Well, let loose the birdies.
Welcome to my tweet spot.
Okay. Okay. So, hi. I was reading. Hernan in the YouTube chat room is explaining to me something about Twitch. I don't have a subscription button that charges $4.99 a month. No, because it's free. And Prime gives members one free subscription to the channel of their choice. So, I don't know. I'll have to look into that. Hernan, thank you for letting me know. I don't know. And I'm doing all this myself. And I don't know Twitch. And I don't know all the different way. I'm just doing my best to get the show out there to as many possible streams, as many ways as possible. So any help you guys want to give me is appreciated. All right. So Laffy.
I don't know from Twitch.
I don't know from Twitch either.
I do
except,
Twitch.
Do you? Oh,
yeah.
Like Twitch?
I do that.
That's the Twitch that's streaming, and it's part of Amazon. Go figure. But
I didn't know Twitch was part of Amazon.
Twitch is part of Amazon. Twitch is Amazon's streaming thing. And mostly gamers. I mean, that's a gamers platform.
Is it? I had no idea.
This is what I don't get. People watch other people playing video games. I guess I'm just old. You know, it's a generational thing. But sure, whatever floats your boat. But there are some, you know, shows that stream on Twitch as well, which I got set up on it before I was abandoned by the person who was helping me with this stuff. So I'm on my own again. So if anybody knows the ins and outs of those streaming services and want to help me out, bring it.
Put it out on Twitter. You'll get a whole ton of people.
Yeah. Anyway,
they really are helpful.
I know they are.
I mean, the reason I ended up writing to Target, which if we ever get into that, is because somebody, one of my followers who I really like on Twitter, told me that he used to have them as a client, and here's who you write to, and here's what you do, and here's how you do it. I said, I never would have known all of this. Thank you. So just put it out on Twitter eventually. Put it out a couple of times if you don't get a nibble, because sometimes people don't see your first tweet.
Yeah, I know. I just... Yeah.
All right. So here's something that just makes no sense that I mentioned to you right before we came on. Here's a tweet from Scott Wong. He's not white. He's Wong from the Hill. It says, Representative Karen Bass.
Yes.
Says she'll make a decision about whether to jump into the LA's mayor race within the next week. What?
No. Karen Bass.
First of all, who wants to be LA mayor? That's the worst job in the world. Second of all, we need you in Congress.
Yeah, do not do that. And actually, it was early today that I saw Howie Klein tweeted out that Kevin DeLeon jumped into the race. He announced this morning.
That makes sense.
Yes, and I saw a bunch of... tweets from Kevin DeLeon here. Let's see. Kevin.
He's good.
DeLeon. And now he writes, City Councilman Kevin DeLeon jumps into LA mayor's race. Someone else. Kevin DeLeon is the instant front runner in the Los Angeles mayor's race, though he was born in LA as Kevin Alexander Leon. He grew up in San Diego. His father was of Chinese descent. Okay. So,
good.
So here, Kevin DeLeon, here. Today I'm proud to announce my candidacy for mayor of Los Angeles. I'm ready to be the leader LA needs and build the bright future Angelenos deserve. Join our movement, kevindeleon.com. So there you go.
Works for me.
Me
if
too.
I were living in LA,
Karen Bass. And you know what? If I had never sold my last house in LA, the one in Culver City, Karen Bass would be my congresswoman.
Yeah, see? Yeah. So if she leaves, she would have been your ex-congresswoman.
She wouldn't be my not congresswoman.
Hi, we're ridiculous. Okay, here's something that just broke a little while ago.
Yeah.
Not that long ago, a couple of minutes. Well, an hour.
Okay.
The Trump campaign, let me move our little thing here so I can, let me make you small so I can read this.
Oh, okay.
Trump, is New York Times. The Trump campaign knew lawyers' voting machine claims were baseless, the memo shows. Days before lawyers allied with Donald Trump gave a news conference promoting election conspiracy theories, his campaign had determined that many of those claims were false.
Come
court
on,
filings reveal. Wah, wah. 2 weeks after the 2020 election, a team of lawyers closely allied with Donald J. Trump held a widely watched news conference at the Republican Party's headquarters in Washington. At the event, they laid out a bizarre conspiracy theory claiming that a voting machine company had worked with an election software firm, the financier George Soros in Venezuela, to steal the presidential contest from Trump. Oh, my God, that must be, that's horrible. How could anyone, my God, but there was a problem.
Oh, no.
For the Trump, problem for the Trump team, according to court documents released on Monday evening. By the time the news conference occurred on November 19th, Trump's campaign had already prepared an internal memo on many of the outlandish claims about the company Dominion Voting Systems and the separate software company Smartmatic. The memo had determined, that those allegations were untrue.
Oops.
Yes, indeedy. This was part of the defamation lawsuit that Dominion had filed, remember?
Mm-hmm. I remember headlines. It well, yes.
Yeah, well, it says Dominion says contains evidence that officials in the Trump campaign were aware early on that many of the claims against the companies were baseless. The documents also suggest that the campaign sat on its findings about Dominion, even as Sidney Powell of Kraken fame and other lawyers attacked the company in the conservative media and ultimately filed 4 federal lawsuits accusing it of a vast conspiracy to rig the election against Trump.
Wow. Yeah.
According to the emails,
yes.
Parkinson, the campaign's deputy director of communications, reached out to subordinates on November 13th, asking them to substantiate or debunk several matters concerning Dominion. The next day, the emails show Parkinson received a copy of a memo cobbled together by his staff from what largely appear to be news articles and public fact-checking services. Even though the memo was hastily assembled, it rebutted a series of allegations that Powell and others were making in public. It found that Dominion did not use voting technology from the software company Smartmatic in the 2020 election, that Dominion had no direct ties to Venezuela or to Soros, and there was no evidence that Dominion's leadership had connections to left-wing Antifa activists, right, as Powell and others had claimed, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, there's a long article in the Times.
Oh, my God. But the bottom line is,
yes,
the takeaway, Trump knew all along that this was bullshit, and he just doubles down on it. They just don't care. They don't care about facts. It is just whatever they say to be the, you know, the opposite person, just to say, no, it's the other way. And we won.
It's also to rile up the base and to cause enough doubt. So the next election will be illegitimate despite being legitimate.
Come on.
So
man.
It serves a purpose. It does serve a purpose.
Of course. Yeah. There's a method to the madness, as they say.
Absolutely. Yeah. Here's something I didn't read to you earlier. It's from LOLGOP that I had. I forgot I had this one.
Okay.
I don't know what this is. Oh, it's a screen grab of an article that he tweets over, and the screen grab says COVID-19 set to overtake 1918 Spanish flu as deadliest disease in American history.
Yeah.
And LOLGOP says, and people say Ron DeSantis doesn't have any accomplishments.
Yeah.
We're number one, damn it.
Yeah.
That's a new one.
No, I've had that for a little while.
I haven't heard that. That's good.
Dole them out slowly. But the thing is, it already has. I don't know when he posted that, but there are now more U.S. deaths from COVID than there were for the 1918 Spanish flu.
Yeah. Yay, exceptional America.
Yay, us.
Yay, exceptionalism. Yay. Pro-lifers.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Well, here's speaking of pro-life.
Yeah.
My ass, pro-life, my ass. This also broke just this morning. Misogynist Texas Governor Greg Abbott.
Yeah.
You know him.
I do.
He signed more abortion restrictions into law. This one bans the use of abortion-inducing drugs in the state 7 weeks into pregnancy. And he also allows people who, quote, intentionally, knowingly, or recklessly breach the law to be criminally charged.
Wow.
It says... I thought it was still part of the article, but no, it's my own tweet, that the insurrectionist party, which is what I call the Republican Party, will go after contraception next. And they're going to keep going after everything, including gay rights, trans rights, you name it.
But you know what? That's good. I hope they go completely over the top, because this is going to turn everybody off. You know, even a lot of Republican women who are not Bible thumpers, who believe in a woman's right to choose and a woman's right to do with her body as she sees fit, to make decisions that will affect her and any children she may or may not have. And so outlaw contraception, you keep going. Keep going down that road. Go as far as possible, because the further they go, the better it'll be for us, as long as they don't steal the elections.
But that's the thing.
I know.
They've got their Trump Supreme Court. So all these things they're doing will pass as laws.
Yep.
And then when they end up in the Supreme Court, they will be agreed to by the conservative, crazy, insane Trump court. So I totally get what you're saying. It'll turn voters off. It'll turn women voters off, who were the big block.
Yes.
But Trouble is, they can still steal it.
Right, but they can still steal the election, and that's my fear. I think the further insane they go, the harder it would be for them to win legitimately. But they don't believe in winning legitimately. They believe in cheating, lying, and stealing their way to victory.
The only way they can win.
Yep.
But the problem is that, well, I'll read you a tweet that eventually when we get there that I read to you already complains about that very thing. Uh-huh. Okay, Grant Stern. You know Grant Stern.
I do, Grant. No, I didn't know him, but I saw the video of him getting ejected from this press briefing from, you know, Kevin McCarthy for simply asking him a question.
He's the executive editor of Occupy Democrats.
That's right. Yep.
And he says in his tweet, leaving my second orthopedist after GOP leader McCarthy silently watched police assault me for asking why he opposes the bipartisan January 6th commission. Doc says I only have 5 sessions to go. Nothing can rehabilitate what the GOP does to America.
It's amazing. So the day that video surfaced, I reached out to him and he came on the show. He's in Miami. Who knew? So it was the first time we met, but we watched that video and they physically manually removed him forcibly.
Clearly, if he's going to the orthopedist and rehab sessions, I mean, that's 5 to 7 more rehab sessions to go. His second visit to the orthopedist, that's got to hurt, and he should sue the hell out of them.
Yeah. Oh, without a doubt. It sounds like he's readying that.
Yeah. If he's making it public and he's leaving a paper trail on Twitter, then I'm sure he's doing it everywhere. Okay, so I have a two-parter. This one's from Hugo Lowell, who is a congressional reporter for The Guardian. And he said, it says a little thread, but then I have another tweet. New House Democrats introduced the Protecting Our Democracy Act, legislation to prevent abuses of presidential pardon power, suspend statute of limitations for offenses by presidents, and enforce emolument law. Protecting Our Democracy Act, among other things, also strengthens congressional subpoena power, requires the Department of Justice to log communications with the White House, and enforces the Hatch Act as part of lessons learned from Trump. And then to follow this up, Walter Schaub, who was the ethics guy under, was it Bush?
Under, Obama.
Obama?
Maybe both. Yeah.
Anyway, he said the Protecting Our Democracy Act would stop the clock on the statute of limitations while a criminal president is in the White House. If a criminal law comes with a 5-year statute of limitations, for example, the 5-year period would start to run when a president leaves office.
Good, as it should. I mean, that whole nonsense of Trump wanting to stay in office to avoid prosecution to run out the statute of limitations is nonsense.
That was a huge obstacle. That was a huge impetus for so many things. But at least now they're trying to get anybody to vote for it other than Democrats. Although you would think that Republicans would want to hold Democratic presidents responsible. On the other hand, they're probably thinking there never will be another Democratic president if they can change elections.
Right. Oh, God.
So this is why I want to go to Canada.
I was just going to say, can you make sure you have an extra room?
Oh, you got it. I'm hoping to get a place. You know, they have basements there, and their basements are all set up as with kitchens and things. Yeah. And I want our kids to live down in the basement for a while until they can find their own place.
Okay, so once they move out, then I can come.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good to know. Yeah.
And I remember I told you on the phone, I think that I got a text from one of my kids that he spoke to our immigration lawyer. Mm-hmm. And the way, you know, our kids are in their 30s and they've got their master's degrees and they have careers and everything. But if they want to be permanent residents in Canada, they're going to, in order to get work permits, they have to go to school again. They'd have to go to a university for a year in order to attain a work permit, and then they could work and go to school at the same time, and that would be their entry into being accepted in. And I was so nervous because I said, call the lawyer and see if that's still the case, because now you're really established with your careers and they have some connections in Canada now. Mm-hmm. Oddly. Mm. Nope, he says he's still got to go to school. That's the easiest
and
best way.
That's so weird. So,
but the good news is my kids were like, yay, we can do this. It'll be fun. And I'm like, what? When did you? Wait, who are you? What? Wait, really? That really made my day. I told him, I said, you just made my entire month.
Wow.
That was like the best thing he could have said. So aww. I'm so happy about aww. That.
Nice. Yeah. Anyway. Sydney in the chat room just said, I'd move to Canada, but apparently I'm both too old and too poor.
I'm older than you and we're not too poor, but the way we did it, in case you're interested, you have to jump through 10,000 hoops. They do a whole background check on you. You have to take tests. You have to, just so many things, but you do them.
I got to tell you one thing. I keep glancing over here because something I didn't know about, apparently, according to the chatters on YouTube, Hal Sparks is thinking of running for mayor of Los Angeles.
Really?
Now, I'm sorry. I have a problem with people who do not work in the field jumping in because maybe they have name recognition. Like the idea of Matthew McConaughey running for governor of Texas. He's a fucking actor. And because
he's like Larry Elder?
Like Larry Elder. Hello. He's a radio hate talker. Just because you have name recognition doesn't mean that you're cut out to run a city. And people are saying in the chat room, Hal is smart enough to run a country. He knows so much about government. Granted, he may, but that's not his field. And first of all, and he's not a household name. So what, he's going to blow up his comedy career to run for mayor? Or maybe you think he'll get more publicity? I just think it's ridiculous.
The problem with it is it seems to me that when we've seen that happen for the most part, because Schwarzenegger did fine. Usually they get in.
That's a matter of opinion.
No, I mean, in terms of success.
Well, he won.
I couldn't stand the guy. I'm just telling you, living in California, people were okay with that. But a lot of celebrities, when they run and then they win, will find that things happen that are scandalous and they don't mean them to be, or they can't handle the job, obviously, is what you're saying. And then things go haywire.
This is a big management job. Hal Sparks, and again, I don't know his background, but he's a comedian. He's never run a major corporation, let alone the second or third largest city in the country.
Well, not only that, but being LA mayor is not rewarding for the most part. Every time, I had a friend who worked with Garcetti. And she ended up leaving and it was a mess. She just told me privately some things that have, gone on. She was very well versed in what she did. So, she comes at this professionally. She really had it down. It's a thankless job. I mean, you're saddled with so much in Los Angeles and there's always somebody who's going after you. And there's always somebody who's going to create a scandal for you or with you or on top of you or from behind you.
Yep.
And Hal Sparks, I think you should stay where you are because you're so loved.
And look, Winston Smith said, sometimes we get a gem though, Nicole. Al Franken was a comedian and one of the best senators I've had.
Sometimes it works.
Senator. Being a senator is wholly different from being a governor or a mayor.
Yeah.
That's an executive role where you're running a huge, it's not a business in it, but it's a huge entity.
It's a volatile entity,
without
too.
Management experience, I'm sorry, that's just, it's misplaced. Let him run for Congress or something if he wants to run for office. And I understand some of you are saying it would be a lark. But he's also not a household name. All right, I'm done. I mean, I don't want to spend so much time on this.
No, I have no idea how he'd do, or I don't know his background. I just only seen, heard him on the radio and met him once, and he's really nice, and he's really smart, and he does know a lot.
Yep.
I have no idea what his managerial skills would be like. I mean, Mayor Pete, if he ran, but you look at this city, and it's
tiny.
It's a volatile city.
I'm sorry, but it's tiny. Mayor Pete was not qualified to be president either. He was mayor of South Bend, Indiana. Now, you may remember there was a guy named, I want to say Mosley or something like that, who was the mayor of Miramar, Florida, who was also in the race, never got any attention. And it's Miramar, Florida. It's one or two towns over. It's larger than South Bend, Indiana.
But that's what I'm saying. That's exactly the point.
Yep.
LA is like a state.
Yep.
And again, I'm going to keep using the word volatile because things happen
right.
in LA.
Yeah.
There's yep. South LA, there's East LA, there's North, you know, there's all parts of LA that it's complicated.
Hal Sparks would be better used by campaigning for Kevin DeLeon.
There would be a position for him if he's interested in getting into.
He wants the publicity, obviously, is what it sounds like. All right,
anyway,
so it's a stunt. Whatever.
Back to Jayapal, whose birthday it is.
Wayne Messam was the mayor of Miramar. Thank you.
Who was it?
Wayne Messam was his name.
Oh, I don't know.
The mayor of Miramar, the town that's bigger than South Bend, Indiana, who was also in the race, who got no attention at all. Just saying.
Yes. Okay. Comprendo.
Yes.
So from Manu Raju, Jayapal, who was meeting with Pelosi today,
yes.
said that progressives are not bluffing and will sink an infrastructure bill on Monday if reconciliation is not passed by next week. It won't be. This is him, I'm quoting. Asked if that's the right approach, Warren told me, we have one bite at passing a lot of this through. That's the end of my quote.
You know, this is making my stomach hurt. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's the old adage, Democrats will pull defeat from the jaws of victory anytime they're given the chance. And that's what's going to happen here. They made a deal. They negotiated this. That's when the price tag on the reconciliation bill came down from $6 trillion over 10 years to $3.5 trillion. Mm-hmm. That was part of the deal. The other part of the deal was they would go in concert. One would not pass without the other. They would move through together and be brought up together as a way to hold both sides to the deal. And now the Republican wing of the Democratic Party is saying, well, we're not going to do that. We need to vote on the first part now. And the progressives are going, wait a minute, that's not the deal we made.
Right.
And if we do this now, then you're going to turn around and go, fuck you, when it comes to voting on the other part of it. So no.
And Chuck Schumer said it's not going to happen by the 27th.
It's not going to happen by the 27th.
Right. So I'm getting a headache thinking about this. I know.
Well, that's the thing. And some of them are saying, you know, now I stumble over it because the media keeps calling them moderates and centrists.
They're not.
The conservadems are saying, well, you know, if they postpone the vote from September 27th, or if it fails, we will not vote for the reconciliation part. Well, screw you. So we're gonna lose out on all of it. And the Democrats are going to come away looking like the idiots that they are.
And that's, I'm so glad you said the thing about conservadems, because I tweeted, they're not moderates, they're conservatives.
Yep.
I say that every time somebody tweets about centrists in the Senate, centrists in the House, they're not.
Right.
They're conservadems.
Exactly. It's, you know, I'm sorry. Vernacular matters.
It does matter.
Hearing this 911 call last night from somebody who saw the van of the girl who was killed in Utah. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. saw them arguing and said the gentleman was slapping her.
Oh,
he's
that
not a
me
gentleman.
Nuts.
If he's slapping her, he's obviously not a gentleman. Stop calling monsters gentle people.
That's what, you know, Chris Hayes does that. Rachel Maddow does that. Other anchors do that. I hear this all the time. When they're talking about either terrorists or people who have broken the law in a really bad way.
Right.
The gentleman appeared in court.
No.
No, he's not a gentleman.
I know.
He's not. He's a person.
Thank you.
Barely. He's a man.
He's a sorry excuse for a human being. He is not a gentleman. He is the exact opposite of gentleman.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for that one.
I heard the 911 call. I'm like, he's not a gentleman. I scream at the television in case you couldn't figure that out.
That's exactly why I did my blunt videos. I know. I totally get it. Okay. So this is the tweet that I was referring to earlier about getting somewhere.
Yeah.
Hayes Brown, the reporter who's on, I think, MSNBC.
Yeah.
Now.
He writes. Yeah. He runs their website. He runs their website, I believe.
Yeah. Used to be with BuzzFeed. He said, Biden is once again the most energized when talking about the importance of democracy and the activists who fight for it around the world versus authoritarians. And this was about the UN when he was giving his speech.
Right.
Sarah Kendzior came in and said, maybe he could do something about the aspiring autocrat who planned a coup right here in the USA and the subsequent annihilation of voting rights that will give the coup plotters an electoral autocracy. Yeah, I mean, I'm champing at the bit, or is it chomping at the bit? I never know. Chomping.
I think it's pronounced chomping, but it's spelled champing.
Is spelled champing?
I believe
really?
So. I believe it is.
Because how do you champ? What's a champ? I thought chomping.
You're asking, you know, me to make sense of the English language, which, you know, doesn't make sense.
Well, anyway, I'm down. Where am I? Okay, in one more tweet after this, we're going to get into the scary part of what's happening with our electoral system. But I just wanted to read you the Kenzie Orr tweet because it did strike a nerve with me. I totally am with her on this. Schooley is commenting on James Singer. Who is he? I have no idea. Let's see.
Don't know.
He's a DCCCCCCC comms former. Anyway, he used to work with a lot of Democrats.
Okay. All right.
And he said, Republican Party commits to crashing the economy. And this is about Mitch McConnell saying about the debt limit, that he won't, no Republican will vote to raise the debt limit. Is David bugging you?
Yes, and champing comes from horse racing, where the horse champs at the bit. So that's
But why is it champ and not chomp?
Why is it champ and not chomp?
The horse has a bit in its mouth.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it can't bite. And because it can't bite, it's not chomping. They call it champing. As long as I have the microphone, I'd also like to say I'm a little disappointed at the way you dissed my haircut work.
It looked
horrible. I feel like I got a bad review.
You got a bad review on Yelp. Get out. Just
David,
get out.
I cut my own hair. I know from cutting hair.
Oh, my God. Look how
really
short it is. It's so short because he cut it. It went like from down here to up here on this side.
But it looks really cute now.
Oh,
it really does.
Really, I've decided that in about a month, I'm going to really like it. You know what? It'll be perfect in time for my birthday.
See, because, there you go.
You know, November. My birthday is what? It's 5-6 weeks away.
Yeah.
So it'll be at the right length then. It's really, really short now.
And then
it's
you'll thank David.
No, I will not. No, I won't.
Okay. So Mitch McConnell said he's going to stop any Republicans will not vote to raise the debt thing.
No, they will not. Of course they will not.
So Schooley said, our buddy Schooley, he said, killing their own voters didn't give them the slam dunk midterm advantage they sought. Time for plan B, kill the economy.
Oh, God.
Murder's murder, after all.
It is.
People will die either way.
Murder by numbers. You know, 1, 2, 3.
Everything. Okay, here's the part that's getting me nervous.
Okay.
Greg Sargent did this thread. And it's a lot of words, and I hope you'll bear with me.
Okay.
But it's important words. I read most of it to you before, and you can stop me if you get bored.
Okay.
Okay, so Greg Sargent. In an urgent and important new paper, Rick Hassan recommends reforming the Electoral Count Act as a key safeguard against a future stolen election. The gaping holes in the ECA are what made Trump's coup attempt plausible. Here's a brief explainer. This is from the Washington Post. And I'm going to make you small so I can read it. So hold on.
Okay. Let's get small.
You're tiny. You're not going to talk like this.
I'm quoting George Carlin.
Let's get small. First, because the ECA provides that a state can appoint new electors if the election, quote, failed, which is defined very vaguely. The idea was to use, quote, election fraud lies to declare that popular voting. Declare that the popular voting failed to render a clear outcome. GOP legislatures could then appoint electors for Trump, regardless of their state's popular votes. Second, because the ECA makes it easy for Congress to object to electors, only one lawmaker from each chamber can force votes on whether to count them. The idea was to get congressional Republicans to invalidate Biden's electors in key states. Trump would prevail with the majority of remaining electors. Third, because the ECA does not clearly define the vice president's role as president of the Senate as purely ceremonial, the idea was to get Pence to somehow rule in favor of the objections to electors, or at least to delay the count. That would either result in Trump prevailing with a majority of electors or buy enough time for GOP legislatures to send rogue electors. Remember, getting Pence to rig or delay the count was precisely what Trump incited the January 6th mob to accomplish. Okay, that's the first part of what he said. He goes on. Awful revelation from the Woodward and Costa book. The White House sent at least one GOP senator a detailed memo, quote, explaining how VP Pence could subvert the electoral count in Congress. this would not have been possible, but for the big holes in the ECA. I'm not going to read you it, but it's, yeah, exactly. He goes on. One future stolen election scenario would involve what Rick Hassin calls a respectable bloodless coup, unquote. This would entail, quote, technical legal arguments exploiting holes in our system to subvert the real outcome. Trump's coup attempt exposed these holes. And then he quotes from the same piece in the Post. The filibuster, quote, the filibuster is the major impediment to Congress taking steps to avert a potential stolen election in 2024. Rick Hassin, to me, we know how to fix the ECA to prevent a stolen 2024, but the filibuster means nothing will pass. Mm-hmm. Here are the key ideas. And then he quotes. So if I were you guys, I would go to Greg Sargent's Twitter feed from September 20th.
And he's at the Plumline GS, right?
Yes. Because at the Plumline GS.
The Plumline is the name of his column at the Washington Post, and GS for Greg Sargent. So at the Plumline GS.
And the plumb line is P-L-U-M.
Yes.
The plumb line, all one word. You really have to just read it.
Yeah, you should read his column every day because he's really good. And he writes more than one a day. He's always updating us on things politics. So, he's a really good read every day.
Yes, he gives details. He's understandable. And he gets beneath the surface and you go, oh my God, is that really?
Yep.
You know, that's the kind of writer he is. Yep. And he's easy to read. He's not somebody who I can't.
No, he's very easy. Hey, Laffy, I got something else I want to play for you. This is something, a young man, an Iraq war veteran, spoke for, I think, most of us. Who perhaps last week or whenever, 10 days ago, during the 9/11 stuff, were a little perturbed that George W. Bush was up there giving a speech like he was the savior of the day. And nobody questioned his, he's a hero now? Really? So on September 19th, just what, 2 days ago, W. spoke at an event in Beverly Hills, and this Iraq veteran decided to make his presence felt. So let me share with you what happened.
Do we have the veteran's name?
I do. I have it written down. I'll tell you when the thing ends.
Okay.
I'll tell you his name in a moment. But here we go. Here we go. September 19th, 2021. Mike Prisoner.
Mr. Bush, when are you going to apologize for the million Iraqis that are dead because you lied? You lied about weapons of mass destruction. You lied about connections to 9/11. You lied about Iraq being a threat. You sent me to Iraq. You sent me to Iraq in 2003. My friends are dead. Joshua Castile. You killed people. You lied. You lied about WMD. A million Iraqis are dead because you lied. My friends are dead because you lied. You need to apologize. Apologize! You need to apologize! Apologize! Apologize!
Are you with this gentleman?
I you know what? Thank you. Here he is.
They're going to arrest me, but I just disrupted George Bush speaking.
Oh, here's more of him.
They dragged me out. I guess the cops are not after me, so I guess they're arresting me.
Yeah.
Well, what I did was I tried to read the names of friends of mine who died after going to Iraq and then died of injuries they came home with, the names of Iraqis who were killed by the U.S. occupation in the Nisour Square Massacre, Editha, those you saw in the collateral murder video. I tried to read the names, but the event runners immediately grabbed the list and tore it up, but I was able to shut it down for a little while. Right when Bush was getting into his first little cheesy story about his life and all that, trying to be funny. But so hopefully I shook him and set a tone for the event. The crowd was very mad.
All right. So there's I thought that deserved a mention and recognition because George W. Bush deserves a lot more criticism than he gets. And so that is Iraq War veteran and Empire Files producer Mike Prisner, P-R-Y-S-N-E-R. So good for
him. Well done. Yes, George W. Bush said something good on September, was it September 11th? Is that when it was?
Yeah.
I won't watch his speech. I cannot stand the sight of him.
Nope.
He tortured people. That's all you need to know. He destroyed the economy and he tortured people. He gave us a
he lied us
war.
Into war, two wars.
Right.
I mean,
exactly.
Just, yes. So,
so no, I don't admire him. Yes, he said a good sentence. Yay. Good. I'll give him credit for that.
Right.
I have no problem giving him credit.
And he pointed a finger at our right-wing white supremacist domestic terrorists who do need as much scrutiny as, you know, the others, non-American terrorists. So good on him for doing that. He owes us a hell of a lot more than a good comment and pointing a finger at the domestic terrorists. I'm glad he did that, but he needs to be confronted, and this man just did.
Right.
It was awesome.
Thank you.
Yep. Okay. That's why I wanted to share.
That man reminded me of Code Pink.
Yeah.
Okay. Ellie Mistal.
Ellie Mistal.
Yes. I love the Ellie. Yes. Anyway, he was referring to the Haitians under the bridge and what we were talking about earlier, how awful it is that they're being deported. And he said, do you think the Biden administration would let this happen if it was Cubans fleeing an earthquake instead of Haitians? And then he puts three question marks. And then he said, but later, in quote, serious Dem strategists will be saying, quote, we don't know why Democrats underperformed in Miami.
Right.
Ugh, right.
God.
This is the problem.
Yep.
I mean, and you know, I tweeted something, an article that our friend, my brain just froze. Oh my God. Okay.
You're going brain on vacation freeze. In 2 days, 3 days.
Yeah. Will Bunch. Hello.
Will Bunch,
who is like a friend of mine online, like a real friend.
Yes.
Anyway, he did an article and it was critical of Biden in certain ways. And he always couches his criticism in other things that look, he also did this, which is really good. But here's something that's not good, you know. And I tweeted it because I always tweet Will Bunch. And I said, I wonder how many people are going to unfollow me because I tweeted something negative about Biden. Well, I don't know if anyone unfollowed me for it, but of course I did get the requisite tweets in reply that said, why are you bashing Biden without, you know?
The thing is,
you're a lot, you know, I think Biden's surpassing expectations any way. And I'm happy about that. But I can also criticize him if there's something that I disagree with.
Without a doubt.
And it doesn't mean you have to get angry. It just means you can disagree back.
Right. And you can criticize Biden without elevating the idiots on the right. They're mutually exclusive. One has nothing to do with the other.
Right. Here's something that just tweeted Heather Cagle.
Yeah.
Who I'm trying to see.
I think she's
Politico.
Right,
I'm sorry.
Yep,
I'm sorry that it's Politico.
Yeah, me too.
But it's just a news thing. It's not commentary. Biden will host multiple in-person meetings tomorrow with House Democrats. Full attendee list is unclear, but I'm told all wings of the caucus will be represented. Biden and House Dems will be talking about Build Back Better Bill and how to get everyone to say yes.
Okay.
Just so you know.
Okay.
So he's inserting himself into it.
Gotcha.
Which is a good thing.
So
anyway, what else? Oh, and yeah, so Ellie on Twitter was talking about the Haitians. And my final thing was a follow-up. I don't remember if I even talked about this with you about the Target letter that I wrote.
We did. You briefly, you tweeted it to me. So you wrote a letter calling out Target for their lax mask policy.
Okay, in my county, it's a misdemeanor to not wear a mask in the stores. It's a misdemeanor. I have it on, you know, a screen grab of the law, penal code, da 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 da. And I wrote a letter, hand typed on paper, and sent it to the three top people at Target in Minnesota, and the chief comms officer, the chief store officer, and the CEO. And it tells them my experience about employees not wearing masks and people running around maskless, despite the fact that they have a big sign and they do well with their signage and they do well with their hand stuff, you know, the sanitizer and all that. They're very good about that. But they're not good at enforcement. And I got so upset. I tried calling. I tried writing. Nobody was responding. I finally got a woman to respond, a young woman who was one of the store managers or something. And she was very sympathetic and then did nothing about it. Never answered my emails again. Never talked. She said she would give me her home number. Never did that. Not her home number, her cell number.
Uh-huh.
Never did that. Everybody lied. Everybody just, you know, backed off. And so I talked to somebody who knew these people in Minnesota and said, here's who you contact. Here's how you do it. Just write the letter. I wrote the letter, and our friend Spocko circulated it all over Twitter as a way to write a letter about these things.
Cool.
So Spocko's I got great. A lot of, I've got like, oh my God, how many, 300 likes or something. I did well with the letter.
Right.
With the people on Twitter. 340 likes.
Okay.
So that's pretty good for a letter.
Well, yeah, but it would be nice if Target
now they have to answer. They just received it. I did it where you have to sign for the letter. They just received it.
Wow.
So I want to see if they do answer me now.
All right.
And Trudeau won.
And Trudeau won. Trudeau won. Yeah, we can get into that. Actually, we're done with Progressive Voices, so we're officially in overtime now. But there's one thing we didn't talk about that I need to mention.
Yes.
And that's the story of this poor girl who the autopsy confirmed that was her, Gabby, whatever her last name was.
Yeah, I don't know the story. I haven't followed that one. I'm sorry.
Then you haven't turned on the news in the last few days.
No,
the blonde
I've seen it run by.
Girl.
I just haven't.
Okay, so here's the thing. The media has been all over this. That has been the lead story on national news broadcasts, like the NBC Nightly News, on national news nightly news programs. The lead story, a beautiful 22-year-old blonde white girl traveling the country with her alleged fiance in a van. Mm-hmm. She's missing. He returned home after they were traveling. He came home alone without her. And 10 days later, her family reported her missing. The boyfriend, fiance, whoever he is, wouldn't talk to them. And now he's in hiding or missing too, as they're
saying.
And aren't
they digging up info on him or something?
Well, of course they are. But the point I'm getting at is,
yeah,
2,000 people go missing in the United States every single day. 2,000. Why was the media so centered on this woman? Look, I feel horrible for her family. I feel horrible for her. She was obviously a beautiful young 22-year-old just starting her life. And it looks like her fiance or boyfriend or whatever murdered her. So she's missing. And this led these newscasts for days.
Right,
what about the other 1,999 people who disappeared that day and
exactly.
the 2,000 people who've disappeared every day subsequent to that? Why are none of them mentioned? And so now I go on Twitter and I see a picture of a young man who's been missing for 3 weeks and this other black girl, Gabby Petito is her name. Thank you, Fantoma. And John. Why? I feel horrible for her. I get it. But why not a word? Even in doing these stories, they don't say, by the way, 2,000 Americans go missing every day.
Right.
Why all the attention on this one girl?
Because she's white and pretty.
Because
I don't know.
She's white and blonde and pretty.
I think that's why I didn't follow the story, honestly. I'm so tired of it. It's always the same. Every few years they do this.
Natalie Holloway. We still remember Natalie Holloway's
name.
Another young, white, blonde girl. You know what? Whoever is the assignment editor for the news universe needs to get a fucking clue. Cover the fact that 2,000 people go missing every day. And are never heard from again for the most of them.
And some of them aren't white.
Hello?
How about that?
God, it just pisses me off. It makes me so angry. And then I see today, people are like applauding Joy Reid for saying what I've been saying since this story broke. Excuse me, where are the other 2,000 people who disappear every day? So
I'm glad she said it.
Had to get that out. One other thing. Did you know our friend Lauren Mayer came down with COVID?
No. No, the last I saw was her last video, and that was that. Oh, my God.
Well, no, her last video is her newest video, and it goes like this. Oops, hold on.
Here.
Hold on.
You'd think that this damn pandemic would be over by this fall. So I feel strong frustration that it's not. Thanks to psychotic nut jobs whose selfishness hurts us all. 'Cause though I've done all the right things, look what I got. In other words, from exposure to morons who won't take the damn vaccine, a poison can get COVID-19. See, my husband brought it home from work and then gave it to me, they said. Though I would have preferred that he brought me some candy or flowers instead. And this isn't exactly how I'd hope to spend time with him in bed. A couple can get COVID-19. Some say, so we get a few breakthrough cases. No reason to get distressed. But that doesn't mean it's not a royal pain causing some strain. I freelance, so I've lost income. And we're basically on house arrest. And what if my husband and I drive each other insane? In other words, thanks for misinformation that's spreading on every screen, even sane folks can get COVID-19. Jerks who say they're defending their freedom and personal liberty need to know that their ignorant behavior affects lots of folks like me. So we all got a mask and I'm stuck in my house, which does not feel free. It's their fault I got COVID-19. And furthermore, after trying and trying to bring anti-vaxxers in, our patience has begun to wear thin. You can say we should try to persuade and not shame them with things so fraught. Well, screw that. It's about time for mandates so morons will get the shot. 'Cause I'm sick of us acting responsibly when these schmucks will not. They gave me this contagious disease. Disease, I'm hot, then I freeze with the wheezes and the sneezes and a headache that isn't a breeze. From a lack of community sanity, I feel crappy and must quarantine. I'm angry that they gave me COVID-19. Achoo!
Aww.
God, that was so good.
Lauren Mayer recovering from COVID-19. Oh,
unbelievable.
Yeah, unreal. So stay safe, Laffy. By the way, from the chat room, Kamishwari Kate lives in Vancouver. You should, she's a regular here. So,
oh.
Yeah, so she lives in Vancouver. So I'm passing that along to you.
Tweet me.
Yeah. Kate, are you on Twitter? Tweet at Gotta Laugh. If not, send me an email and I'll send it to her and get you guys together because they'll be there. Okay. All right. I guess with that, we're done. You're leaving. But, you know, it's not like you're not, there's the internet and there's phones and it's not like you're moving to another country.
As long as I can get my cellular data to work. Oh, crap. We got to call Verizon. That reminds me.
Okay. All right. All right. Gotta Laugh. Travel safe. Wear those masks. Pee safely.
I bought N95s, by the way.
Good. That's what you need. Yep. The N95. Yep. And and I guess with that, we're done.
We're so done. I'll talk to you soon.
Done. I will talk to you soon. You check in regularly from the road so I could give everybody an update.
Oh, I will. You'll see a little diarrhea.
What?
It was like a diary, but it's a little one. So it's a diarrhea.
No. You need to rethink that branding there. Okay. Bye, Laffy. Follow her exploits on the Twitters at Gotta Laugh with 2 T's and 2 F's. All right, Laffy. Yeah. I'll see you later. All right. Leave you with the news, everybody. See you tomorrow. What's tomorrow? Dave Zirin's going to be here. Ooh, with a Kaepernick effect. All right. Thanks, everyone. Bye.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
White House announced Monday it would lift its travel ban on fully vaccinated people from 33 countries. The ban was imposed 18 months ago to help curb the spread of COVID-19. Vaccinated travelers will have to show a negative coronavirus test conducted within 3 days of their departure. Unvaccinated Americans will be allowed to travel, but will have to test negative within a day of departure and then get another test after they arrive. Hope on the horizon? Pfizer and BioNTech said Monday that a low dose of their vaccine proved safe and effective in children aged 5 to 11. Children now account for more than 20% of new infections, and more of them have wound up in hospitals and intensive care units in recent weeks due to the spread of the Delta variant. But before any kid can get the vaccine, it's got to go through FDA emergency authorization, the CDC would have to weigh in, and a logistical plan devised. But it can't happen soon enough. The U.S. has now crossed another dark threshold. At least 675,000 people have now died of COVID-19 in the United States. That's more than the U.S. death toll from the 1918 pandemic. World leaders descend on New York on Tuesday, returning to the United Nations for the first time in 2 years for the General Assembly. This is tensions rise between the U.S. and China, and there are concerns lingering over Afghanistan following our withdrawal and the Taliban's return to power. And then there's that dust up with France. Again, stay tuned. Now on to the mess that is our Congress. Congressional Democratic leaders have announced that they'll attach a suspension of the debt limit to a must-pass continuing resolution to keep the government funded. That way, Republicans are forced to choose between addressing the debt limit, something they don't want to do, and risking a government shutdown. That vote will happen today. But that's just the tip of the iceberg. Now that a Democrat is in the White House, Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell has resurrected his Grim Reaper getup. And this time he's threatening to tank the good faith and credit of the country, insisting that Republicans will not vote in favor of an increase in the debt limit. So here's my regular reminder. Every time a Democrat's in the White House, the Republicans do this. The debt limit, or ceiling, is the legal limit for what the federal government can borrow to pay the bills for spending that Congress has already authorized. It doesn't authorize any new spending. It merely says that we will pay the bills that we've already said we're going to spend money on. It must be noted that Republican lawmakers during the Trump administration voted 3 times to suspend the debt ceiling, and Democrats went along with them. The Trump administration added trillions of dollars to the federal debt during his term, significantly more than has been added by Biden, and done with the support of Republican leaders. The $28 trillion national debt rose by roughly $7.8 trillion during the Trump years. If they don't fix this mess and come up with government funding and a way to raise that debt limit, the government will shut down in 9 days, September 30th. And then there's the other mess. The Democrats are racing against the clock and fighting with each other over the pair of infrastructure bills that are tied together, thanks to a deal negotiated near the beginning of the process. The size of the reconciliation part of the package was negotiated down from over $6 trillion over 10 years to $3.5 trillion over 10 years. Coupled with the directive that both the hard infrastructure bill and the reconciliation package would be brought forth together. One would not move forward without the other. But now, some on the right-wing side of the Democratic Party seem to have a memory problem. A group led by conservative Josh Gottheimer of New Jersey made a deal with Pelosi to hold a vote on that hard infrastructure bill by September 27th. Well, Pramila Jayapal, chair of the Congressional Progressive Caucus, explained why it won't pass, saying, quote, "We are excited to vote for the infrastructure bill as soon as the reconciliation bill passes. The two have to go together. That was the deal made in the Senate. That was why the progressive senators voted for the infrastructure bill." Stay tuned. The Department of Homeland Security announced Monday an investigation after video surfaced. Horrific video surfaced showing Border Patrol agents on horseback using whips. Yes, I said whips, to drive away Haitian migrants seeking asylum at the U.S.-Mexico border.
White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki also called the images horrific. She said she didn't know the full context of the videos, but, quote, couldn't imagine what context would make that appropriate. This is just a sad and untenable situation. The results of Canada's snap general election are in, and Prime Minister Justin Trudeau has prevailed over his conservative rival, Erin O'Toole. But they fell short of the votes needed to form a majority government, so things remain pretty much as they were in Canada. And finally, that doctor in San Antonio who wrote a Washington Post op-ed claiming that he had violated the new Texas 6-week abortion ban now faces at least 2 lawsuits. Interestingly enough, both of these suits are brought by plaintiffs who say they oppose the new law. One lawsuit was filed Monday by Oscar Stille, a former tax attorney in Arkansas who's serving a home confinement sentence for a federal conviction on tax crimes. Lovely. Stille told CNN that he's an opponent of the law, but wants to clear the way for a judge to rule on its constitutionality. Second lawsuit has been filed against Dr. Alan Braid, this one by Felipe Gomez, an Illinois resident who describes himself as a pro-choice plaintiff in the suit. Nancy Northrup is president of the Center for Reproductive Rights. That's the organization legally representing the doctor. She said her client had been called to challenge the legality of the law because the alternatives for his patients are untenable and that the law is creating havoc on reproductive health care in Texas. And the Supreme Court has set the date, December 1st, to hear a Mississippi case that officially challenges Roe v. Wade. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is fully listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.